Everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, ChicagoJazz.com, Chicago Jazz Magazine, and welcome to Talkin' Jazz. We are here at Johnny O's 35th and Morgan, and I am excited. We are sitting down here with a guitarist who has a very interesting backstory that we're going to get into, Jordy Kelly. He's in town, well, permanently now you're in town, but we're going to talk about your different things that you've been doing. He was in the Navy band. He's got a lot of great stories. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, you have a very exciting jazz gig happening every Sunday throughout the entire summer up until Labor Day on the ChicagoLine.com. It's called the Fort Dearborn Jazz Cruise. It actually leaves, and I'll get all the plugging in out of the way here now, so hang on. It leaves right by Winters, right at 465 North McClure Court. So if you like going to Winters, you can actually go and get on this cruise. Jordy's there with a trio or a quartet?
It's a quartet.
Quartet. Every Sunday. What a gig. And you guys go down the Chicago River for a couple of hours. You can have cocktails. There's a full bar. There's little munchy things, appetizers that you can also get on the boat. And listen to Jordy Kelly tear it up with his band there every single Sunday. So, Jordy, thanks for making it down.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about this. So it's every Sunday. You get a steady gig on a boat, man, in Chicago.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
Pretty lucky that that it happened for me that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about it. So who is it? Is it it's you with an organ trio or something, or a vocalist, or
who's doing it? I have a vocalist every week, and I have either drums and B3 or drums and bass. It
depends on who's available and all that stuff, right?
I like to use organ, but he's not always available.
Right. So people get on. They back out of the port there, and they go down the river. Now, what are they going to hear? So you bring on different vocalists. I saw you had Kerry John's route. I think Michelle Thomas has done some stuff with you.
So that's who I have this summer. Last summer, I worked with Kerry and Michelle and Amanda Wolf and Jeannie Tanner and some other vocalist too, I just can't recall.
But just the whole mixture.
Just the whole mixture. And this year, Kerry and Michelle are doing the whole thing.
So what's the coolest part about this thing? I mean, you're a musician, you get to play tunes, obviously, but I mean, if you're getting on there and you want to hear jazz, but then you also, I mean, it's kind of a cool perspective, right? Going down the Chicago River, I mean, that you get to see things that you don't normally see from the street.
Yeah, for me, being a relative newcomer, you know, going down and taking in the skyline from that perspective, that's still neat for me, that being in the second year. When the weather is nice, there's hardly anything better. But a lot of times early in the year, it's rainy and cold, and later in the year it could get chilly. This past weekend was the first one, and we all had on jackets and hats, and you know, I can't wear gloves, but I could have used them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they also have an inside space too. I mean, you're upstairs, right? But then there's also, if you're getting freezing cold and you're a guest on the boat, you can go down below and get a little warmed up and stuff.
You can, yeah. It's still exposed somewhat. Mm-hmm. They have it. It's not solid sides like the skin of a ship, but there are some barriers down there by the bar and the food.
Yeah. Well, okay. So people get on, so they can get tickets at ChicagoLine.com. Now, here's the coolest thing about it: they get to go out. They're out on the boat. You guys are playing. I think boarding's at about 6, and then 6:30 to 8 is the actual cruise.
That's right.
And so you're going to be able to listen to Jordy and his trio and whoever the vocalist of that day is. Playing jazz standards, I would imagine, and a whole mixture of stuff?
Pretty much all standards, typically. So between 6 and 6:30, when the embarkation process is underway, then we just do instrumental things. And then when the vocalist comes up, either Kerry or Michelle in this case, they just call whatever tunes they want to do. But it always ends up being standards.
Yeah, yeah. So you get to have that experience. Yeah. And then here's the other cool thing about it. And everybody has heard me talk about Winters Jazz Club. This is literally docking behind Winters Jazz Club, right there. So you can actually get off the boat and then go into Winters Jazz Club and see a set of Winters. So you can actually do a double dip, be out on the river, check this whole thing out, which is a really cool experience. And for those of you that have never been out on the Chicago River, even the lake, but on the Chicago River, it's very cool because they go down, and I think you can attest to this. You'd be surprised at how close you get to the bridges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You get to inspect the bridges as you go under them because they're right there.
Yeah, you could, if you stood up and you're relatively tall, you could jump up and touch them. And it's really kind of, the first time we went through, It's really kind of a weird situation, Doppler effect, and the way it echoes as you're going through, because the sound is kind of out there, and then it gets really encapsulated, and it's really loud all of a sudden, and it's just a weird vibe.
Well, I remember I played on top of one of those one time, and we were going down the river, and we weren't paying attention. And luckily, bass player, Nick Schneider, just happened to look to the left and whoa! And he pulled his bass down because otherwise it would have hit the bridge. So, you know, you never know. It's that kind of excitement, though, that you get super, by being on the top of a
boat. Super close. And they're, I wouldn't call them hecklers, but they're folks that are up top as you're going under. Hey, I don't know, going nuts. No one's thrown anything yet. But.
Well, that's encouraging. That's the season's just beginning. And we don't encourage that. So don't wait for Jordy on a bridge. So now you've got this happening, which is very cool. So it's every Sunday. Of course, JordyKelly.com. We're going to link that up below so you can check out his website and see where else he's playing. ChicagoLine.com is where you can go on. You can get tickets there. And it boards at 465 North McClure Court. I'm sure that if you're wandering around downtown coming from Navy Pier and you remember, oh, wait, it's Sunday. It's like 5:30. We should go on this thing. You could probably walk up and get tickets, too. I'm sure there's a ticket booth and there's different ways for you to get on board right then and there of that day if there's availability. So let's talk a little bit about your background, because I wanted to be sure we touch on this show. So you are retired. We were talking off camera from the Navy Band.
That's right.
And you were in the Navy Band for how many years?
More or less 22.
22 years. So you were in college for music,
mm-hmm.
and you decided, you know what? I get out. Even if I have a degree and I walk into a jazz club, it doesn't mean I'm going to get hired.
Right.
So I probably should go in the Navy.
Yeah,
there's so many good players in the Navy. That's why I'm asking.
There are a lot of great players in all the branches, especially these days. It's more and more competitive to get in. Yeah, so I was in graduate school, and at that time, you know, going back 25 years, I had young children and a wife, and wanting to provide for them, and at the same time doing the, you know, I was knee deep in grading papers and doing sight singing lessons, and I was like, do I really want to do this? Because I thought I did. I was going to get my doctoral and just go become a professor, and I thought, I don't know, so I'm going to try this out, and if it's a mistake, it's only a 4-year mistake.
That's one way to look at it.
I mean, 4 years kind of, it can't. The older I get, the quicker that is. It's more compressed.
Right, yeah.
So I joined, and the first place they sent me was Navy Band Great Lakes up here north.
Oh, okay.
And that was mid-90s, and about 2 years in, I was ready to call it quits, and then my wife at the time, who's Italian, we got offered to go to Naples, Italy. And I told the guy that offered me that gig, I was like, man, I don't think so. I think I'm done. And he said, well, just go home and talk to the wife about it. And that was the end of that.
She's Italian.
Yeah. Right.
What are you talking about?
So off I went, and here I am.
So you got stationed in Naples.
I've been overseas, stationed overseas twice, once in Naples, Italy, and once in Yokosuka, Japan.
Wow.
And I was in Japan just before returning back.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this, because we were talking off camera. I think this is pretty fascinating. I mean, just describe, like, what, you know, you're in the Navy Band. I mean, you are playing a lot of functions. You were actually stationed in Washington, D.C., too, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, obviously, we were talking a little bit off camera about that, too. And there's so many events and ceremonies and stuff that, I mean, you're constantly busy if you're in the Navy Band, right?
Hundreds of gigs a year.
Yeah. You're not getting paid by the gig, by the way. You're on salary. Just
that's
so you know.
Right.
Okay. All the musicians that are running to enlist right now.
It's a great gig if you can, you know, if you know what you're getting into, whatever. But yeah, in D.C., for example, there's a ceremonial unit that goes and does Arlington Cemetery all day long, 365.
Really? Yeah.
Snow, heat, rain, other than lightning. They wouldn't do it then.
Mm-hmm.
Concert bands, jazz bands, little combo type things. Woodwind quintets, brass quintets. I was in a jazz trio. And
was that like your main deal was like a jazz trio, or would they put you in a big band or something? You wouldn't have to go play concert band stuff, obviously.
Well,
right?
So when I was, interestingly, when I was in that position, I was asked to play in this trio, so I played guitar in that trio.
Mm-hmm.
It was guitar, bass, and vods.
Oh, okay.
And all standards and things like that. And then I also did conducting. of the concert band and that ceremonial band that would go and render honors in Arlington, for example, you know, an old World War II vet maybe
sure.
passed away or something like that. We'd go and they'd have 21 gun salutes and all that. Very whole ritualistic thing mm-hmm. to include Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you know, where they lay wreaths,
sure.
Going to the White House, playing for this Secretary of Defense counterpart from another country or something like that. All kinds of just weird things that yeah. you would... I never knew about till I got there, you know?
Right.
But
well, and that's the thing, too, is because, I mean... Well, you went to music school, and then you were kind of moving up in the ranks, right? So you were
right.
starting to schedule stuff, so that's probably why all of a sudden you started conducting things.
Right.
You were kind of like the guy in charge.
Yeah.
So you wanted to be there, and so nothing got screwed up, I would imagine. It's
yeah.
just like running a gig in Chicago.
It's right? no different, it's like, yeah. Got a lot of valuable skills in that because, you know, running up to a gig... that you're having, you know, crazy high level dignitaries at, it can be nerve wracking. But interestingly, there is a funny story that I have about doing an arrival ceremony, is what they call it, on the Navy Yard in DC. I was actually conducting this, and it's called a CNO arrival, Chief of Naval Operations.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means CNO is coming and he has a counterpart from another country, so on and so forth. Skunk Baxter was working, he probably still is working in D.C. As some sort of contractor because somehow the technology that he used in building amps was
mm-hmm.
used in for defense purposes. I don't know in what way.
So he's an amp builder, he's an amp.
He's a guitar player,
okay.
you know, Doobie Brothers
oh, okay.
and different
All
things
right.
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And so he was a defense contractor. Same big mustache and the long ponytail. Looks so out of place. But so I saw him and I met him. I was like, Skunk Baxter? It just looks so weird. But he was friends of that Admiral. And he showed up to the band room. He's like, hey, man, can I borrow this amp? He had something to do with the Roland amps. And I'm not exactly sure because that's not really my scene as much. But
right.
something about that technology was applicable to the defense.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he was there, and for that ceremony, he had played on a Strat, and that Roland JC-100, the jazz chorus, played America the Beautiful for that CNO.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was there. I was like, oh, man, that skunk dance to play it, you know. So you see a bunch of crazy stuff, man. I got so many stories. It's nuts.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, we were talking a little bit. I mean, you did stuff for the president. You did stuff for the Secretary of State. You did stuff. So, I mean, but you're there, and they're, since you're in the Navy, they're just like, okay, well, this guy's in the Navy. It's no big deal to them, and it's no big deal to you, maybe,
yeah.
because it's just, this is what we're doing here, right?
Yeah, you really do kind of rub shoulders with folks, and you know, you're there with instruments and a uniform, and hey, how you doing? You know, it's nothing to talk, you know, them to talk to you and stuff.
Right.
Now you see them on CNN and some or something, you're like, wow, okay. Yeah, I remember being there. That's kind of that's weird.
Well, so you're doing that, and how did you end up in Chicago? Because did you come back to Great Lakes, or were you stationed? How did that whole thing come about?
So, I was in Japan from 2011 to 2014. Then they said...
Doing the same kind of thing in Japan.
Yeah, I was running that band out there in Japan.
So there's like military bands in every country from the United States, essentially. I mean, you know, there's probably exceptions, but...
Not every country, but like... So when I was in Japan, we covered and played and traveled to, you know, the eastern islands off of Russia, that is Russia,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to Australia and New Zealand and everything in between.
Oh, wow.
And same when I was in Naples. I played North Africa, like Tunisia and Morocco, all the way up to, you know, in the North Sea countries like Denmark and Amsterdam,
wow.
Rotterdam, you know, the Netherlands, all
yeah.
that. So, and everything in between. So you get to, you're doing a lot of traveling. And
is it in and out, though? I mean, you're in and out, you get on a plane, you fly down, and then you're out, or you get to hang for a night or something and get to see things, or you...
It varies, but oftentimes you do have time off to go see what's going on in that country. So in Italy, there was a lot more flying to that place, staying a little while and coming back. Over in Japan, there was more traveling by ship. You know?
Oh, okay. So you got to play on the ship, too, or you guys are just rehearsing or whatever, or?
Yes, there we had a rehearsal space under the helo deck in the back, and We would play functions on board the ship, but mainly when we pulled into port, that's when we'd go out and, you know, canvas whatever country we were in or whatever city.
And the department would set those up, right? So you'd have, okay, we've got to hit three or four. These are our three gigs that we're doing in this port or whatever it is.
To a certain degree, it was actually, there's a public affairs officer that's on the ship. And then, so basically, I'm picking all these gigs, lining these up based on what we've done in the past, and running it past the public affairs guy, you know, saying, so, you know, we want to, you know, target whatever it is you're trying to get to and that sort of thing.
Because it's all PR, right? I mean, that's what they're trying to do, is just relationships and that whole thing.
Exactly.
And to spread goodwill, and here's jazz, and here's the band, or here's this band or that band.
Exactly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
So how did you end up coming back to Chicago? So you were in Japan, you said.
Right, I was in Japan, and then when it's time to move or go to another job, you get something called orders, and they said, well, you're going to Great Lakes. It's like, okay. So that's where I started, and I came back and was enjoying it quite a lot, and spent over 4 years back the second time here, and they wanted to send me somewhere I didn't want to go, and I had enough time in to where I could say, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to call it quits, because I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, so you're at Great Lakes. I mean, is that when you started driving in and out of the city and coming down and sitting in and stuff? I mean, you were meeting people at that point, so it was probably pretty good.
Well, right? So the first couple of years, I didn't do much of that, though I was living, when I first got back, I was living in Uptown, and I would go to Ravenswood and take the Metro up every day.
Oh, okay.
So the first 2 years I was back, I didn't do anything in the city because nothing's worse than, so in all those years I was in, I moved 13 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing's worse than like establishing some roots a little bit and getting entrenched even a little and then having to leave. It kind of stinks. So I had no intention at year one and two I was going to get out. So I thought, man, I'm not going to do too much because it'll be a bummer when I got to go. And then it started looking like I was going to go to a place I didn't want to go. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna stay here. Somebody's will get to know everyone and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much how it went down.
Oh, that's, and then you just stayed.
Yeah, I moved out of Uptown. My place is in Edgewater now.
Oh, yeah. But you're right. You're
same
right
zip code.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, where we film this show, which is at Morgan and 35th, you do some private lessons. You do private lessons in Bridgeport.
Right.
And so now you're doing teaching, you're playing gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And so where else, I mean, can people see you play other places? Have you got any studies happening other than on the boat every Sunday?
Yeah. So, you know, I got some solo guitar work coming up at Atwood Cafe on 1 West Washington downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Pineapple Express hotel, mm-hmm. but the restaurant part. Of all places, I play Mariano's really frequently.
So a lot of people that play Mariano's, man, you know.
So I do that like once a week. Then every Thursday I'm with Alan Gresick.
You're in the
mill.
Swing shift?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, okay.
So I've been with him going on 2 years now.
Wow, that's great.
A lot of other filler dates that I work with, seems like a lot these days, I'm working with Carrie Johnsrud and Damian Espinoza,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Yeah. Well, those things always pop up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. It just keeps, like, you talk to this person, and then this place calls you, and then this thing's going on, and, you know. And
yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking, given my background, where, you know, you'd start the year and you'd know, all right, I got a holiday concert, I got a Memorial Day concert,
right.
I got 4th of July, I got, you know it.
Right.
And these days, it's not always as...
It's not structured.
Yeah.
It's not like the military suddenly, right?
So I had to relax a little and say, well, you know.
it's funny too, because when you bring that up, it's normal to a lot of musicians, but even the people that aren't musicians probably can't even fathom that, like, literally we're filming this show on a Wednesday, and if you're open on a Friday and you get a phone call, you could be playing a gig on a Friday with like three people you've never played with. It'll sound great, and it's no big deal. But do you know how much that would freak 90% of the population out?
They'd
be like, what? What am I doing?
Yeah, you know? it's crazy.
But you just get right in the flow of doing this stuff. So when you were in the Navy, just, you know, you went from music school into there. I mean, just talk a little bit about when you're playing constantly, are you still learning tunes? You're not playing the same set, probably, because if you're playing the jazz trio stuff, you're able to learn. So I would imagine that had to be a huge opportunity for you to learn tunes and work on your craft because you're constantly playing, right?
Yeah, I was really fortunate that I spent two back-to-back, what they call tours. That meant like one set of orders, you're going to be here. Then the next one was a follow-on set. So I was at the Navy School of Music for two back-to-back tours. So I was there about 6 years.
Oh, wow.
As a guitar instructor, jazz improv, running big bands and that sort of thing. And that's when I had the most time since college to just... If I was in between students, I just sat in my little hole in the wall and just practice.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And then, you know how it is when you're teaching, you're also kind of learning things. But then again, sitting at, if I was behind a computer making sure that we had enough money going to get picks and mouthpieces, you know, I'd take a break and I have the guitar here. And just, so there was always opportunity if you wanted it to do some shedding.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks didn't take full advantage of those opportunities, but, you know, it was there.
When you're traveling around with the Navy and doing all that stuff, are you able to pop in and see jazz clubs and pop in and see dudes play?
Yeah.
So you must have seen a lot of jazz clubs and a lot of dudes playing all around the entire world, right?
Yeah, I caught, got to hang out a little bit with John Abercrombie in Croatia. Michael Brecker, before he passed away, he came to Virginia Beach where, when I was teaching at that school I was talking about, that's where it's at. There's a band there, he came over there. At the School of Music, we had Frank Mantooth before he passed away, came with Bob Bowman. Yeah, you get a bunch of people coming in. Actually, Great Lakes, I wasn't there for this, but Clark Terry was in that band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way back. And
must have been like during World War II, right?
Yeah, a lot of the guys. Coltrane was in the Navy band, too. He wasn't at this one. He was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Clark Terry came back for some sort of Great Lakes reunion thingy. It must have been 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Right up here at Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you run into all kinds of folks.
Well, I bet they also, I mean, you run into them and then you're in the Navy. So it's a little different than, like, running into some maniac guitar player that just approaches them in a club. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, okay, Jordy's in the Navy. This guy's probably normal. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Little do they know. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, if it's after a gig, then it would be readily apparent.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, if we're just hanging out, you know, you go meet them and you'd have to let them know.
Yeah.
Other than they could tell, you can't tell now, but a cleanly shaven face and, you know, high and tight, maybe they could, you know.
It's not the typical jazz guy right there,
I bet, you know.
Well, that's cool. And were you able to study with anybody or do anything like that? You take a lesson here or there from somebody?
While I was stationed, those two back-to-back tours, it was a very fruitful time for me musically. I would travel up to Philly and take lessons with Jimmy Bruno. And that lasted for, you know, on... whenever I could get time off to go up there on and off that whole entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came down.
Thanks.
Of course, you can check him out every Sunday on the Jazz Cruise, which is the Fort Dearborn Jazz Cruise, leaving from 465 North McClure Court, right behind Winter's Jazz Club. You can't miss it. They board at 6. They leave 6:30 until 8 p.m. It's Jordy with a trio and a wonderful vocalist, usually either Michelle Thomas or Carrie Johnson. We all know them. And you get all the information and tickets at ChicagoLine.com. Of course, JordyKelly.com, so you can find him at every random place in between every Sunday where we know he's going to be. Jordy, I'm so glad you made it down, man. This is fascinating.
Thanks, I think
a lot of our people that watch this show and listen to the podcast probably are curious about, you know, the military bands, but I'm pretty positive they didn't know how much playing, and you guys are actually playing jazz, and you're doing a lot of stuff. So, man, I'm glad you told
jazz,
us about
rock,
this.
Yeah, jazz, rock, Dixie, you name it. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to, and I'll lay it out there just the way it is. No recruiting posters,
right.
Here's what you're getting into, here's the good, here's the bad, here's the ugly.
That's great. Yeah, actually for all the young musicians, that would be something for them to check out. And if they have any questions, hit them up, shoot them an email, DM them on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere else. As I always close the show, appreciate you being here, and hopefully Jordy will see you on a Sunday during the Jazz Cruise, and hopefully I will see you, maybe I'll make it to the Jazz Cruise, maybe I'll see you somewhere else at one of the clubs coming up, but if we don't see you soon, hopefully we'll see you somewhere out on the scene.